What kind of man welcomes the company of the hurting, helpless, and the hopeless?
What kind of a man can heal the pain with a single soft touch?
What kind of a man multiplies hope and freedom as easily as he does fish and bread?
Who else can turn our dusty old religion into a brand new relationship?
What kind of man would claim to be God in the flesh, but then allow that same flesh to be torn apart?
What kind of a man would embrace betrayal?
Insults.
Torture.
Mockery.
And death.
And yet, live to tell about it.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who could speak with such authoritative words and yet drench them with compassion?
Who could be strong enough to still the storms, yet be so meek and humble?
Who could allow the hands that created the universe to also be nailed into a wooden cross?
Who could choose patience despite deserving immediate and complete obedience?
Who could be blameless and without fault, but still endure the judgment others deserve?
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who will love us like him?
Who will be with us when all others have left?
Who comforts us in suffering?
Who is our peace in the midst of anxiety?
Who reassures me when my mind is drowning in doubt?
Who accepts me as I am, with no strings attached?
Who else would die for me while I was sinking in sin?
Who else can turn the grave into Easter morning?
Nobody.
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 Nobody but Jesus.
This month, we are continuing to talk about Easter. And the purpose of this month is to simply take a walk through this incredible story that we call Easter and look at these moments that make up this story and simply ask the question, what does that say for us personally right now today? And so last week we talked about this idea that Jesus prepared for the Easter story. And we talked about the preparation that he made. And if you'd like to hear more about that, check out the video on Facebook or YouTube to hear more about that. But after Jesus made this preparation for what would become Easter, after he had that Last Supper, after he washed his disciples' feet, after he taught about how love is the thing that's going to go and change the world and show them that you are followers of Jesus, he and his disciples went out to this garden called Gethsemane, and the night took a turn. And it took a turn that was complete and full of unexpected tragedy and set them on an unexpected journey. It was a life-defining moment for Jesus and for his disciples. Have you ever experienced one of those moments where you have a life-defining moment and it kind of sets you on this journey that you never necessarily intended to walk, but now you're kind of just on the journey and you're walking it because life just kind of took you that direction? About a year and a half ago, Kirsten started having, first of all, she got exhausted, just tired, like tired. And she was going in for surgery to get her appendix removed. Not a big deal, not a big surgery. And so they ran a few tests before the surgery and some tests on her heart came back abnormal. They said, not a big deal, we'll just check you in 3 months. Well, 3 months later, the heart tests were worse. And so this doctor told her that she had to rest for 6 months. A life-defining moment for our family. Because what that meant, the way it was explained to us at the time, was this. If you can avoid doing it, Kirsten, don't do it. The doctor was adamant that if your heart rate gets too high, it may not come back down, and then you could go into heart failure. Holy cow. All right, so our family made a big adjustment. Kirsten had to stop coaching our kids in soccer. Kirsten had to stop going outside and working with the chickens. Kirsten had to stop gardening. She couldn't do the things around the house that she wanted to do and the things that she loved to do. And all of these things that were a part of who she was. Now she was stuck on this journey of just resting. And the rest of our family also went on this journey, and our kids started doing more chores every single day of the week to help out around the house. And we all went on this journey where it's not a journey we would have chosen to walk, but we were on this journey that was a life-defining moment. On this night, for Jesus and his disciples, they had a life-defining moment. And this life-defining moment set them on a journey that would affect the rest of their lives. Look at John chapter 18, verses 3 through 5. Judas brought a company of soldiers and some guards from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there carrying lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus knew everything that was to happen to him, so he went out and asked, "Who are you looking for?" And they answered, "Jesus the Nazarene." There's the moment. There's the life-defining moment where everything changed. Judas betrays Jesus. He brings a mob of people to come and arrest him with torches and weapons, and the night becomes just an absolute whirlwind. Judas kisses Jesus. Peter freaks out and takes a sword and just swings wildly, cuts off a guy's ear. Jesus picks up the ear and heals the guy. The disciples turn and flee for their lives, scared that they're going to be arrested as well. And the mob arrests Jesus. It was a life-defining moment. For the disciples, it would set them on this journey of, for the next few days, uneasiness, fear. Their world got flipped upside down. Jesus was supposed to be this earthly king, and now he's been arrested and he's taken to a cross. But it would also set them on this journey that what we'll talk about next week would impact the way that they lived the rest of their lives after Jesus' resurrection. And for Jesus, it set him on the journey to the cross. If we're honest, the journeys that we face when we face these life-defining moments are typically not journeys we would choose to walk. We are thrust into journeys because we don't necessarily have control of our circumstances, but we wouldn't choose to walk necessarily those journeys after the life-defining moments. Kirsten would tell you that she would not choose to walk the journey where she couldn't garden, where she couldn't coach soccer, where she couldn't be out with the chickens. Our kids would not choose the journey where now they are picking up extra chores every single day of the week. But it's a journey that, because of the circumstances, we are thrust upon, and we started walking this journey. And if you take a look at your own lives, I imagine that you will see that you have experienced some journeys in your own life that you have been thrust upon, that have been thrust upon you. And you wouldn't choose to walk those journeys, but you are walking those journeys because of the life circumstances that have been around you. The disciples would not have chosen to walk this journey where they're fearing for their lives. They would not have chosen to walk this journey where they see the person that they followed for the last 3 years taken away and hung upon a cross and put in a tomb. They would not have chosen this journey of re-examining their entire life and wondering, what's next for me? But here's the thing that I find interesting about this story. Here's the thing that I find interesting about Easter. When we look at the journeys that we find ourselves on in life, we wouldn't walk those journeys willingly. But when Jesus looked at the cross and it came down to it, Jesus went willingly. Jesus walked the journey to the cross willingly. While the disciples found themselves on a journey they never expected to be on, Jesus found himself on a journey that he did expect to be on and was going to go willingly. And if we go back to that verse in John, just a short snippet of it, John 18:4, it says, Jesus knew everything that was about to happen to him. Jesus knew that over the course of the night, he was going to be arrested and he was going to be kept awake all night long. He was going to go from one courthouse to another ruler, to another ruler, back to the second ruler. All these trials were going to happen. Along the way, he was going to be beaten and he was going to be mocked and he was going to be spit upon. He was going to be hit with fists and clubs. He was going to have a crown of thorns shoved upon his head. He was going to be whipped mercilessly and nailed to a cross, and he chose to do this, to walk this journey willingly. He chose to walk this journey willingly. That's something that is difficult for us to understand. When we face life-defining moments, when people get sick, when parents get divorced, when the person that you trusted turns around and stabs you in the back, when you have to move from this town where you are super connected and you find yourself in a new area, when you have to switch schools and you're kind of lost as to where to be and what to do, and you have these journeys, oftentimes we find ourselves saying, I don't want to do this. And if we had the power to change the journey that we were on, we would do it, wouldn't we? I'll tell you what, if I had the power a year and a half ago, or even right now, to say, Kirsten, you're all better, boom, I would do it in a heartbeat. But I don't have that power. Now, here's the incredible thing about Jesus going to the cross willingly. Jesus had that power. I love the songs that we sang tonight. They were all about how Jesus has authority. I mean, the one song said, your voice it thunders and mountains shake. The last song we sang talked about how one word and everything bends because of your authority. I mean, everything is under the authority and the power of Jesus. All he would have had to do on the way to the cross is be like, I'm out, I'm done, poof, stop. And everything would have changed. All right, I need some volunteers. First, I need three volunteers that you think, all right, you could come up on stage, and I mean, you could really, really do some good, solid acting, like you're gonna really get into it. All right, Peyton, Tate and Ava, come on up here. All right, now, I need some other volunteers, and you'll come in the end. Let me see if I have just a few. You'll have a very small role. All right, Elise, Brendan, anybody else? All right, come on up here. So Elise and Brendan, kind of stand back to the back there just a minute, okay? And we're just going to kind of set the scene for what this could have looked like for Jesus as he walked to the cross. And he walked this journey very, very willingly. All right, so here's what I need. And this may be difficult, all right? I need one of you that is going to tie me up and kind of be like, I'll be Jesus, and you guys tie me up and be like the person that is, you might want to hear all the rules before you volunteer, the person that is like leading me away. So whoever does that is going to need this little rope right here, okay? All right. There we go. All right. I need one person that is just going to make fun of me and be like, crucify him! And just like, just give it to me, all right? All right, Peyton. And then I need one person that is not really going to hit me. Tate, please don't really hit me. But just, you've got the club in your hand and you're ready to just let me have it. All right, you were a little too excited to volunteer for that. All right, so, Peyton, come stand right over here. Tate, come stand right over here so everybody can see you. Don't turn your backs to the audience. All right, so here's the way this is gonna work, all right? Jesus has authority. He can change circumstances at a moment's notice. So you're gonna act out, and I'll kind of give you directions. I'll be like, and if Tate was to come and try to hit me, and then Tate, you would, you know, and as Peyton would scream insults and say, crucify him, all right? All right, so, and when I say poof, you freeze. Wherever you're at, whatever action you're in, you just are frozen, all right? So this is what it could have looked like for Jesus walking to the cross. When we find ourselves on journeys and we just desperately want out of those journeys, if we had the power of Jesus, this is what could have happened. Tate, step right back here so you got a little bit more space. All right, so Ava, tie me up. All right, she's tying my hands up. There we go. All right, so Jesus was arrested. That's okay. You can just kind of hold it. You don't have to actually. Okay, yeah, there you go. All right. All right, so Jesus was arrested, and Jesus was led away, right? And as he went, people were hurling insults and saying, crucify him.
Crucify him.
Well, come on, you got to get more into it than that, right?
Do it, dude.
Come on. Really let me have it.
Ever.
There you go. There you go.
All right.
All right. Keep going.
Keep screaming.
I don't even know.
All right. Poof. All right. Be silent. Freeze. Don't move a muscle. All right. So Jesus could have, as all the insults came in, Jesus could have said, poof, you're done. No more crucify him, no more mocking him, no more saying, you can save yourself, you can save others, why can't you save yourselves? No more, no more calling him whatever names they called him. It was all silent. If he had the power to calm the waves of the sea and the storms, he had the power to silence the people that were mocking him. And as people came to him to hit him with clubs, poof! Freeze. Boom. Jesus is no longer being attacked. He could freeze people right where they're at. He has the authority to make everything stop. And then he could say, poof, untie me. And freeze. And Jesus could step out and he could look and he could say, here is everyone that is going to lead me to this incredibly painful, awful moment. And I don't need to experience that. I could set myself on a different journey. And then Jesus could say this. He's in control of armies of angels, right? So we've got a couple armies of angels. I need you guys to kind of come and just, not roughly, but just kind of take these guys and take them away. Lead them off stage. Get them out of the way of Jesus. They don't need to be in around here. Very good. Very good. And lead them out. Lead them out. Go, 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 go. She tied her up. All right. Give it up for our volunteers. Give it up for our volunteers. Here's the thing is that all it would have taken was one word, just like that song that we sang. That's it. That's all it would have taken was one word. Jesus had the authority to change everything. Now, think about the journeys that you have been on. For me, the one about Kirsten being sick is just fresh in my mind, but there are countless journeys that I have been on. What journeys have you been on that you've walked a road that maybe you just really weren't super enthused about walking that journey? And if you had the power and you had the authority to say, this could all be better, let's just make this better, we would do that in an instant, in a heartbeat. We would set things right. But Jesus chose to walk to the cross and experience the torture and all of the wrong that was done to him willingly. He chose to walk that journey willingly. And so here's the big question. What does that mean for us today? What does that mean for us today? Here's what it means. It means, in my mind, two things. You see, Jesus walked this journey willingly because he knew that at the end of this journey, he was going to pay the price for our sins and the things where we just miss the mark. And here's what I've been thinking about recently with this idea of sin, is that a lot of times, I know in my mind and in my life, I've thought sin is where I've done the wrong thing. And the sin just means to not hit the bullseye. And so tonight, some of you were throwing axes in open gym, right? And you would say that if one of you was able to throw four axes and hit the target four times, you'd say you're a pretty good axe thrower, right? Would anybody disagree with that? All right, pretty good axe thrower. But the thing about sin is, sin just means you didn't hit the bullseye every single time. That's the only thing. Sin just means you did not hit the bullseye every time. You just weren't perfect. And Jesus said, listen, I want to pay for the times that you were this far off of the bullseye, but I also want to pay for the times where you turned around and you aimed at a totally different target. Because I want to be with you. I want to be with you. And so here's what this tells me, the fact that Jesus was willing to walk this journey willingly. It tells me two things. It tells me you are incredibly valuable. It also tells me that you are incredibly loved. You are incredibly valuable. And you are incredibly loved and wanted. Listen, when this world makes you feel like you are the exact opposite of that, when this world makes you feel like you are completely unvaluable and completely unlovable and completely unwanted, we can remember at this time of year that Jesus went willingly to show us, to show you, to show me that, holy cow, you are so incredibly valuable. You are so incredibly loved. You are so incredibly wanted. Jesus wants to be with you. Jesus wants to spend eternity with you. And he knew that the only way that he was ever going to get to be in a relationship with you was if he went to the cross, if he walked that journey willingly. You guys, too often, I find myself thinking how unvaluable, unloved, and unwanted I am. And I imagine that if you are honest in your soul, there are times when you feel unvaluable, unloved, and unwanted too. And so the practical challenge this week is simply going to be a reminder that we are so loved. We are so valuable. We are so wanted. And so here's what we've got. And during this last song, you can come up and you can get this and build this. I've got some orange strings. Some of them are long and some of them are short. Now, orange is a color that people pay attention to. When you see orange cones, you generally stay away from that area. You know something big is going on there. When you see orange flashing lights, it gets your attention. You know something big is going on there. So I've got this orange string to remind you something big is going on here. And I want you to just take the string and put it like this and just tie a little knot so that it looks like a cross. It'll be kind of a rugged, misshapen cross. A cross is in the early centuries were not perfect. And then I just want you to take this orange cross as a reminder that something big has happened. And I want you to just put it somewhere where you'll see it. And every time you see this orange cross as a reminder, something big has happened. I want you to remember that that big thing that happened was that Jesus, in a very tangible, practical way, expressed, "You are so valuable. You are so loved. You are so, so wanted." And so as this last song plays, come on up and grab a long string and a short string and just kind of take some time and build your own orange cross as a reminder. Something big happened. Jesus walked this journey willingly. Let me pray for you guys. God, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you.